Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this wonderful Tuesday. Very high and happy, by the way, in the Kevin Herr football household. Big night last night. Technically, is a violation I talk about, I'm sure, but you know what?
There is no way.
Very, very proud. No, but it's technical, but still at the same time, you know, we're like family here, and I am. He had himself one heck of a game last night, so you know, it's you know, I am so happy and thrilled for him. I mean, we kid a lot about. Well, he didn't do this, and he didn't do that, and whatever. We kid. But you know what? In reality, I love him like a son, and he's just, I'm thrilled he just played well. And one of these nights, I will attempt to somehow get there. I don't know how, but I'll attempt to.
Well, you know, there's always Skype. I can always video it for you.
And so on today's show.
Listen, we've done that a lot. I mean, because during some of the football seasons and wrestling season, I've been at a basketball game, so I get the game via Skype every now and then. It's not the same, but you know, you do what you can.
Well, you know, but you know what? That's one of the great things about technology, that you can do this. This is something you could not have done before.
Oh, you're right.
And I think that's it's terrific. Today we're going to go down the NFL road. Brandon Gowton from BleedingGreenNation.com is going to join us at 3:35. And Dave Bryan from Steelers is going to join us to talk about what was...
I like to use the word pathetic.
Oh, I don't know. Interesting is good. How about that?
Okay. You can call it interesting. I talked to several Steeler fans last night, and we all agreed pathetic was the word.
Why, yes. Yes, the difference is I'm objective.
That's a possibility. It's a possibility.
Possible.
That you're a little more objective than we are.
It's a possibility. Possibility? This is even up for debate. But Dave Bryan from Steelers Depot is going to join us. And then we're going to have Donnie Collins from the Scranton Times Tribune in the final half hour. So we're loaded with football today. We're going to go NFL. Then we'll finish out with some Penn State. It'll be fun. It'll be a good day today. Brought to you by Kratzer Insurance. Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland Auto Home Life Business Insurance. If service and price means something to you, guess what? It means everything to them. It's Kratzer Insurance. More than five decades of service to the Valley in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. I'm here in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, so that's what we have on tap for today. We're going to have on... Let's see, tomorrow's going to be baseball, Charlie Wilmoth, Bucks dugout, and Rob Beer Temple from the Pittsburgh Tribune is going to be on with us. And we're going to talk with them about the playoff game tomorrow between the Pirates and the Giants. So that's why we're going to concentrate on the Bucks for a period of time tomorrow. Tonight, of course, the A's and Royals play. Jamie Shields on the mound for Kansas City tonight with that knuckle curve. John Lester with that fabulous cutter on the mound for the A's. Maybe the best big game pitcher over the last 7 years in Major League Baseball, and John Lester.
I still think this is wrong in the playoffs, Steve, that your wild card game is a one and done. I I don't mind it if it's literally a playoff to get in there. But
Super Bowl's one and done.
Yeah, but it's the Super Bowl. It's always been that way. That's the way it's supposed to be. Baseball's not supposed to be a one-and-done situation. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like the. I think it's really cool that they have one game for everything in the Super Bowl. But I don't like it for baseball in a wild card. Everything else is not one-and-done, except a playoff to decide who wins a division or goes to a wild card, which I think is different. But why should a playoff game be one and done? I mean, you work all that way for a one and done playoff game because that's your reward.
But you know what? I'm not going to. I don't disagree with you. I said when this originally came out, I'd like to see 2 out of 3.
Yeah, I know you. Okay. I know you feel the same way.
Right, right. But there is an element of excitement about the one and done.
No, I can't deny that.
Where tonight in Kansas City. And tomorrow night in Pittsburgh, the energy in the crowd that will come through your TV set will make you excited about baseball. Because everyone in both ballparks tonight will know it's winner take all.
Well, and I know baseball's trying to promote it as well. It's like the seventh game. Okay, yeah, it is, I guess, in a way.
It is. Actually, in a lot of ways, it's better than the seventh game. You want to know why?
Because you have no idea what to expect because either team hasn't played each other, at least for this series.
No, that's more than
that. I mean,
they've
played each other, but...
Because it's the one and done, each team has set up their pitching where their best guy's going.
Yeah. No, it's not...
You've got, I don't know.
I see both sides of this. I really do, but I just don't like it.
You've got Shields and Lester pitching tonight. You've got Volquez and Bumgarner going tomorrow night. This is the best each team has.
See, I think football, because of the nature of the game, has to be a one and done. I think it would be almost impossible to do a best of even 2 out of 3 in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl. So that's why I'm very surprised baseball wants to do this one and done with the wild card. I know that part of the reason is they want to celebrate the teams that won the division, and there's your benefit for winning the division. But it's not baseball. One and done is just not baseball when you get to the playoffs. I don't consider a one-game playoff for a spot in the playoffs as the same as the playoff game itself. Do you understand what I'm trying to say there? Like, I don't mind a one-game playoff to decide a division, because to me, that's still part of the regular season. But this isn't the regular season anymore. This is the playoffs, and you should have to, you should have to at least win 2.
Well, I think baseball's trying to find whatever formula it can. Because the ratings are not. They aren't great.
I don't think they're going to get a whole lot of help by the TV setup they have right now.
No, it won't. You've got who has it tonight? Is it TBS tonight or Fox?
I think Fox. Well, Fox has the. I thought they had the entire National League.
Well, ESPN has tomorrow night's playoff game.
Okay, so maybe Fox Sports 1 just has the NLDS in that. I have to look it up because I can't. And see, this is the other thing. Who's got what? I'm confused already.
Well, it's not like the NFL doesn't. I mean, ESPN's going to carry a playoff game for the first time.
Oh, I know, and that confuses me as well. It's like, who has this wild card game and that wild card game and...
You're easily confused.
It doesn't take a whole lot. I'm not going to deny that. I just think once you get in the playoffs, there should not be a one and done. If you want to have a one and done to get to the playoffs to decide a tiebreaker, I'm fine with that.
I have a solution for the Raiders, by the way.
A solution for what problem? I mean, there's so many of them. Which problem are you referring to?
TBS, by the way, has the
Oh, okay, so TBS has it tonight. All right.
All right.
And then ESPN has the other wild card game.
Okay.
That should solve all your problems.
It's still confusing. It's still confusing. Nobody knows.
Okay. TBS has tonight's wild card.
I'm familiar with TBS.
Okay. The worldwide leader in sports, ESPN, has tomorrow's.
Right. And TBS also has the Detroit Orioles series, as well as the A's and whoever they play. They will also have the ALCS.
Yes.
Fox Sports 1 has the divisional games. The NLCS will be on Fox then, and then the World Series on Fox. Again, very confusing.
Not really. Also later in the week, Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com is going to join us on Thursday, and Tom Dienhart, from Big Ten Network and Sporting News is going to join us on Friday. Thought you'd like that.
I like that.
Well, we know. We just want to just keep them rolling, keep the guests rolling through here. Just want to keep doing that. And for the Raiders, here's my deal for the Raiders.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about the Raiders.
By the way, sports blackout rule, the FCC voted to drop it. About time.
That doesn't change anything, really, because the NFL still has that rule. As far as ticket sales are concerned.
Right. Here's the deal for the Raiders. If I'm the Raiders and I'm the Davis family, I don't know which Davis is running it right now. I call Bill Polian. He was successful in building the Bills. He was successful in building the Colts. I would call him up, say, are you interested in coming back? If so, I want to offer you a 5-year deal. Okay. I'm going to give you the power to hire the head coach. I'm going to give you the power to build the team. The only thing you need to do is that before you make any move, I just want to know what the move is. I'm not going to tell you yes, no, or the otherwise, but I want to know before the media knows. That way I have a handle on what's going on with my team since I'm providing the money. That's all I would tell him. I said, I'm not going to sit there and say, hey, look, I'm going to help you draft. I'm going to help you sign guys. I'm going to help you pick a coach. No. Okay? I'm going to entrust you as the professional in a 5-year contract to build this football team, including hiring the coach. I just want to know before you make a move that you just give me a call on my cell phone and say, hey, we're going to draft Derek Carr. Okay, great. You know, I'll probably be in the draft room anyway, but I mean, you know, but great. You know, we're gonna release, pick a name, okay? Because I just want to know ahead of time so that I know before anybody else knows. And that's what if I were the Raiders, that's what I would do. Then the next thing is, I would, as the owner of the team, I would be actively looking to move my team out of Oakland. If they're not going to give me a new stadium like everybody else has, I would be actively looking to move the team out of Oakland. I would look at Los Angeles. I'd look at San Antonio. I'd look at Portland. I'd look at Las Vegas. I'd look at all sorts of places. If Oakland's not going to build me a stadium, which I would put money into, then I'm leaving.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security.
The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
What's next? If you've been listening this decade?
Possibly. If you've been listening in this millennium.
If you've been listening this year.
Or is it millennia? I'm not sure.
Certainly gives you a wide range to deal with. Well, today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance, a service and price means something to you. It means everything to them. It's Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. They've served the Valley for more than five decades. And the Sunbury Motor Studios, where I reside, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And Kevin, you're driving another beauty this week.
I am. We'll chat a little bit more about it next half hour, about the Hyundai Sonata Sport.
You in a sports car. That's, wow. They'll give you something with the top down, maybe in February.
I was going to say, can we wait till the weather's warmer again?
Just a thought. Brandon Gouten joins us from BleedingGreenNation.com. Brandon, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Hey, glad to be here.
Okay. In the Chip Kelly era, did you ever think you'd see 21 points put up that way, which included no offensive touchdowns?
No, I did not. I mean, it's pretty incredible that, you know, you look at a Chip Kelly team with his offense and you have all these offensive weapons, and you have the 2013 NFL leading rusher, and you have the NFL leader in passer rating from 2013, 27 touchdowns and two interceptions, and you can't muster a single offensive point. They couldn't even get past the 50-yard line until late in the game. They couldn't even get a field goal. So it was a real shock that, you know, they just were not even able to score a single offensive point.
What about the sequence by the goal line? At second down, they ran a running play to LeSean McCoy. It looked like he had a chance, and he got down to the one. They knew they had two more chances there. Were you surprised they were both throws?
I was surprised they were both throws. I think, you know, maybe you run again on third down since you had the success from going from first down to second down on that run. And then again, at the same time, you know, you have this banged-up offensive line that just wasn't getting much push, if any, the whole day. So it's really not a slam dunk option at that point anyway. And then if you throw it, you know, the first play, Celek is open and Foles just overthrows him. And then the second play, this was the 49ers really snuffed it out there. You know, maybe Foles could have thrown it underneath to James Casey. He wasn't in the end zone. He would have had to, you know, fight through a tackle, or there was a good chance he would have been stopped. But, you know, that might have been a better alternative than just throwing it out of the back. You know, it really wasn't the best. Maybe they're not the worst play calls there, but probably not the best ones.
Okay, the offensive line. Let's get an update, Brandon, on what you know about the injuries and when some things might come back together to help this offense out, help LeSean McCoy out, help Nick Foles out.
Yeah, I mean, you have this offensive line that's so banged up, and big return this week from suspended right tackle Lane Johnson, who missed the first four games of the season due to a performance-enhancing drug suspension. So you get him back, you plug him in at right tackle right away. That kicks Todd Harriman's over your back to right guard, which is where he should be. And then you still have Jason Peters at left guard. So that's three total starters in their projected spots. But then, you know, the weakness is, again, at left guard, where Evan Mathis is out and Matt Tobin, a second-year player, is filling in. And then really behind Jason Kelsey, starting at center, is now David Molk. And you can see there's just a big drop-off there. You know, Molk wasn't even in the NFL at all last year. So it's really a significant downgrade. Looking ahead, they really need to weather the storm from this point to around Week 10. Around Week 10 is when Evan Mathis is eligible to come off the injured reserve designated to return list. He should be healthy enough to play around then. Same might go for Jason Kelsey, who underwent a sports hernia surgery last week. So you get those guys around Week 10, and then you're really going down the stretch with your full offensive line if everyone can stay healthy until then, and that's really what matters the most. But really, it's about weathering the storm until that Week 10 date arrives.
After the opening week of the season, the Eagles, after an impressive opening win, were the only team that won in the division. Redskins didn't look good. Giants didn't look good. Cowboys didn't look good. Now here we are 4 weeks in. Eagles are 3-1. Okay, tough loss to San Francisco, but they've done fine. The Cowboys look a lot better, and so do the Giants. How much does this change the dynamics, because now the division looks different than 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, everyone thought coming into this year that the NFC East would pretty much be a cakewalk. You know, you thought a lot of these teams would be bad. And, you know, Washington still does look pretty bad. They got totally, you know, demolished by the Giants on Thursday Night Football. The future doesn't look bright for them. It's easy to see them sitting at the bottom of the division again. But really, with the Giants and the Cowboys here, I mean, the Giants seem to be coming on strong after an 0-2 start. And the Cowboys have played really well on offense. I mean, you have DeMarco Murray leading the NFL in rushing yards by a significant margin. That Cowboys offensive line looks really good. They're really creating a lot of running room. Perfectly the opposite of what the Eagles offensive line is doing for LeSean McCoy. And, you know, he's getting out and making plays. And what's important about the Cowboys and their offense and their running game is that they're staying on the field, and they're keeping that defense, which, you know, was not pegged to be good coming into the season, off the field. So they're really making life easier on their weakness by playing up to their strengths.
All right, let's talk about Nick Foles. Certainly a product of this is that he's probably having to get rid of it quicker because of the offensive line, but where do you think he is right now?
You know, it's hard to say, because you look at this guy who just made his 20th career start. So, you know, you can say he's young and you can say he's inexperienced, but, you know, he has played for an extensive amount of time to this point. And you look at just from a really simple point of view, that there's been four games, and he's really only played one good game, and that was in Week 3 against Washington. And, you know, one good game out of four tries is just not going to cut it, and you have to be better than that. Obviously, he's dealing with issues with the offensive line, but even when, you know, he's getting the chance to throw downfield and they're giving him time, you know, he's not hitting open receivers. He's overthrowing them, underthrowing them. He's just not accurate even when there isn't pressure. So he really just does not look like the same player you saw from last year. And that's discouraging, because, you know, if he is 25 and he is young, you want to see some kind of good progress here. And you maybe even thought that was going to happen in Week 4 after you watched him in Week 3 seemingly turn a corner, but it just didn't happen. He was even worse, and probably the worst he's been all season. So it's definitely a big concern for Philadelphia right now.
Do you think, Brandon, that defensively the Eagles are playing a little bit better each week?
Absolutely. I mean, Week 3 was an exception to that, because they allowed 34 points to the Redskins and Kirk Cousins. But, you know, just they've really tightened down in the last week against the 49ers. You know, the offense couldn't even stay on the field, so that put all the pressure on the defense to stay out there and to not allow big plays. And for the most part, they didn't. You know, they had a blown coverage where Frank Gore got a wide-open touchdown. You know, but you take that play away, you know, they're only scoring around, you know, 19 or so, and that's really not too bad for this defense. I mean, let's, you know, I always say the Eagles defense is never going to be Seattle. It's just not the identity of this team. The offensive head coach, the defense really at it is going to be, or at least be around average at best. and that should be enough, because, you know, defense isn't going to be the kind of defense that's going to win you a game when your offense can't even score a single point.
Exactly. Give me a little quick update on what Macklin has meant to them, and obviously the Darren Sproles part.
Yeah, Macklin has really stepped up here as the team's number one wide receiver. Just in the 49ers game alone, he had a really big catch on third and long that moved the chains along the sideline. And, you know, that could have been a signature moment for him had they won the game. I think everyone really looks back to that play and says, wow, you know, this is a guy who's really legit and he's emerging here. And, you know, it was a good decision to re-sign him in the offseason, especially for only around $6 million. So, and probably moving forward, you know, this bodes well for his future in Philadelphia and his chances of staying as a member of the Eagles. So he's been big. He's really been the only wide receiver consistently producing, because you have Riley Cooper, who's struggling, and Jordan Matthews, who flashes, but he's still a rookie. And then Darren Sproles, on the other hand, I mean, he has just been a complete revelation. I mean, he's 31. He's been in the NFL for about 10 years. I think he's played 122 games before joining the Eagles, and through four games with Philadelphia, he has already set a career high for longest run in terms of yards. He's set a career high in receiving yards in a single game, and he also set a record for longest career punt return in week four against the 49ers. So you just look at those numbers, and it's just crazy. Again, he's 31. He's a player who is past his prime. He's still playing well, but, you know, he's not in his glory days. But he's playing as he is in his glory days. So that was a really great move by the Eagles to only trade a fifth-round pick to get him.
Exactly. Look, he would have been eaten up on the open market. Everyone knows it. An excellent situational back. For LeSean McCoy, look, the Niners are a really good defense. I mean, even without Navarro Bowman, they still are. Is he being patient enough? Is he getting frustrated because of the offensive line situation?
I think that's part of it. Chip Kelly even alluded to that. He said LeSean McCoy can be, if he's pressing at times, sometimes he's overcompensating. And I think you see that frustration with him. And it just seems natural, you know, think about it. He knows he's not doing well. It's not a surprise to him. And he really wants to break that one run off, and, you know, just maybe he feels he can get going if he can just get that one. But, you know, sometimes that's just not what the team needs. You know, they need a guy who can just maybe, you know, get 3-4 yards here and there, because then instead of, you know, second and one, or second and 9, or second and 11, then you have second and 7, maybe you can run again, and, you know, then it's third and short, maybe you're passing on second 7 instead of second and 9 or so. You know, he really just needs at this point to, you know, I think not worry about getting the big play and just taking what's there. Now, again, a lot of that is the offensive line. Just thinking about it, you're missing some of your best run blockers when you don't have Evan Mathis, Jason Kelce, Lane Johnson, all players right. That are very athletic and very good at getting to the second level. Now, they're not just making their block on their man in front of them, but they're getting out to the linebacker. They're getting out to the defensive backs, opening more room to run downfield. And that's just not the case when you have guys in there like Dennis Kelly and David Mulp and Matt Tobin, who are just inexperienced and really not meant to be starters in the NFL. You know, they're backups for a reason.
What's your view of the St. Louis Rams?
The Rams are coming in here. They're an interesting team because, you know, they play in a really tough division. They were probably the best, worst team in their division last year because the NFC West is really good. They don't really have much of a quarterback situation going on. They have Austin Davis, who's in here, a former undrafted rookie free agent. Kind of a wild card in the sense that you don't really know a ton about him. He did it good enough to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers earlier in the season. St. Louis is coming off a bye. That should obviously help them be well-rested and everything. But, you know, it's going to be tough for them to play outside of that dome. But they do seem to be a little bit better there. You know, they're going to have to be in the road in Philadelphia. And they are missing some players. So it'll be interesting to see if you know, they can maybe, you know, upset the Eagles on the road here. But, you know, I think this is a team that the Eagles are looking forward to playing, coming off this road loss and coming back home. You know, I think this is a good opportunity for Philadelphia to get back on the winning track and, you know, end week 5 as 4-1.
Brandon, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your thoughts.
No problem. Always glad to be here.
Brandon Gowton, BleedingGreenNation.com, joining us to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles coming up in the next half hour. Dave Bryan from Steeler Depot is going to step in to talk about that juggernaut known as the Pittsburgh Steelers. You okay?
I'm beautiful.
Well, I wouldn't brag. On News Radio 1070 WKOK. During the break, Kevin described himself as average. Found that interesting. CBS Sports Net is starting a new show tonight. What is tonight?
Tuesday night?
And yes. And it's going to be all women. And there's a dozen that will have roles at one point or another in the show. And I don't know if this is, let me see, radio, TV. It's a weekly show. It's a weekly show.
It's on the TV side, right?
It's on TV side.
Okay.
On CBS Sports Net. And it's an interesting lineup. I mean, Leslie Visser, Dana Jacobson, Lisa Leslie, Allie LaForce, all talking about the issues in sports. And it's, okay, and no guys allowed. Amy Trask, who used to be with the Raiders, and I think it's a great concept. I'm glad to see they're doing it. Let's see. The 12 regular commentators. My apologies if I miss any of these. 12 regular commentators are going to be, let's see, I think Tracy Wolfson's one of them, too. But they say they wanted to do a show because it's historic, and kudos to CBS for the decision to move forward with the idea, said Andrea Kramer, who works for HBO Sports and the NFL Network. It is Dana Jacobson, Allie LaForce, Amy Trask, Leslie Visser, Tracy Wolfson. They'll also have Katrina Adams, Layla Ali, Swin Cash, Lisa Leslie, Summer Sanders, Dara Torres, among those on the show. Now, how many participants there are on a weekly basis, I'm not sure. I don't know if it goes four or five, whatever. But it's going to be their version of the sports reporters, except it's going to be all, it will be all women. And that starts tonight. So, I think it's a fun concept.
I also heard that they were going to bring in some of the CBS Morning co-hosts as well, Nora O'Donnell and Gail King. They were going to be guests on the show somewhere along the line.
Yeah, see, that part I don't buy. I don't buy into that. That part that they, you're trying to be too cute. What have I always said?
Well, sports people should stick with sports, and news people should stick with news.
People should stick with news, okay? Gail King, and I know Nora O'Donnell did a very good interview, I thought, with Roger Goodell. But I would not expect Allie LaForce and Dana Jacobson and Andrea Kramer, for example, to be on the CBS Morning Show talking about news. It's like I wouldn't expect Charlie Rose to join the NFL today.
Well, no,
I'm, but you're right. You're right. That's why I'm laughing. Because you're being absolutely right.
Because I think the concept of doing this where you take qualified sports professionals and they happen to be women, that's great. Hey, I think you dent the concept by bringing in Gail King and Norah O'Donnell. You have a dozen qualified broadcast professionals on there because, for example, Summer Sanders. Summer Sanders has done a lot of work.
That's who I was just going to talk about. Yep.
It's a former athlete. She still is very, very good. Swin Cash has tried to do more. Layla Ali's done commercials. I don't know how much commentary she's done. But Tracy Wolfe is very good on the sideline. Dana Jacobson's anchored. Allie LaForce did an awesome job in the NCAA tournament. Leslie Visser, of course, is a pro's pro. Amy Trask, I think, has done well when I've seen her. All right. But I think when you then decide you want to bring in the morning show group and Norah O'Donnell and Gail King, I think now you've taken the concept and you've taken a baseball bat to it. I wouldn't expect Charlie Rose to be in the NFL today, and I wouldn't expect James Brown to be on the CBS morning show. You are who you are. That's why we talk about sports on this show. I don't sit here and talk about, last night's vote by the Northumberland County Board of Commissioners.